I want to say real fast what a privilege it is to preach today. I'm thankful for the opportunity I've gotten to preach. As most of you know, I'm home for college for only a couple more days, and then I'm going back to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Thank you, Andrew. You know, I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it now because he did that. The best part about coming in second place is I beat him. So it's awesome. Take your Bibles and turn with me today to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The book of James is one of my favorite books of the Bible for a couple of reasons. For one reason, it's really, really practical. It really is. From the first chapter when it deals with talking about lust in the second half of it to then dealing about where God doesn't tempt us and God that gives us everything that's good in our lives, from then going to the second chapter where it talks about having, where it talks about works and about how your faith's, how we see our faith by the works that we do, about how it justifies them, and about how, and then the third chapter going into talking about the tongue, and about how our tongue is a weapon, about how our tongue can be used for good or evil. And then we get into chapter number 4, which is where I want to go today, James chapter 4. And before we start, I want to pose a question. How do we receive God's grace? How do we receive God's grace? God's grace is shown to us when we receive salvation. We should never have salvation. We should never receive salvation because we're wicked, we're sinful, and there's no way on our own that we should ever deserve salvation. But because God loved us and God sent Jesus down, we have a way of getting saved, which is God's grace that he gives us. Now, that's grace anyone and everyone can receive. That's a measure of grace and salvation that anyone and everyone can receive. But in James chapter 6, it gives a scenario. It says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So we see there in James chapter 4, verse 6, that God gives grace to those that are humble. Then comes in the question, how do we become humble? How do we become humble to where we can receive God's extra grace that he can give to us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being able to come to church today. Thank you for having an amazing service this morning. Please bless this service right now. Please give me the words you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to keep reading. I want to go on to verse number 7 because I believe the answer to the verse 6 about how we become humble, about how we can receive God's grace, happens in the next two verses. If we keep reading, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So we're going to stop right there. We're going to start the first part, submit to God. So we can become humble by submitting to God. It seems fairly obvious. If we are proud and we are going the opposite direction to God, we're not submitting to him. And James addresses this issue right off the bat. He opens up the verse by saying that the believers need to submit to God. Verses 6 and 7 are a pivotal part in this chapter. If we would read the whole chapter, we'd see in verses number 1 through 4 that James is condemning adulterers and people who are lusting, people who are seeking after the wrong things, people who are, we can read verse number 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So James is condemning these people for being friends of the world, following the world, and going with the world. And then you see in verse number 6 that he says that he gives grace to those that are humble. And in verse number 7, he gives a direct thing, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." So we see here that the first step is that we need to submit to God. First step, we need to go to becoming humble, to getting to where we can get God's grace from being humble, is that we need to submit to him. And submission's a key part of the Christian life. Submission's taught throughout the rest of the Bible. It's taught in other areas. And submission's a key part to our daily Christian walk with God. And submission deals with being humble, and it deals directly with the word. But for some reason, Christians today, we have a problem with submission. It's true. We like doing our own thing. It's part of our human nature. We like doing what we want to do. We don't like being told what to do, which, me being a college student, I have lots of new rules now that I don't always like to follow. There's one rule that a lot of people do not like, every time we leave campus, because most of the people work off campus and most of the people, we all go to church off campus at Southwest Baptist Church, we all have to do something called signing out. So at the front of all dorms, there's a sheet where we all have to sign out. And we gotta sign out and then give an estimated time of arrival, then we gotta sign back in. If we don't do it, we get something called hours. Hours can either be paid off, 1 hour equals $10. You can either pay it off, or you can work it off in the cafeteria, which nobody wants to do because all you do is wash dishes. So it's easy. You sign out, you sign back in, you sign out, put in an estimated time, you sign back in. You know what happens? If we, some of the people have been known to say, oh, I'm not gonna sign out. They know where I'm going. It's Sunday morning. Where else would I go but church? Well, they're at church. Everyone sees them at church. They come back, the RA, and later checks the night sheet, makes sure everyone signs in, because if you don't sign in, you get 10 hours as well. You get an hour as well, and you got to pay $10. Or, so he checks the sheet, and he says, hey, you didn't sign out. He goes, yeah, you knew I was going to church. He goes, no, that's not the rules. You need to submit to the rules. You need to submit to what you're supposed to do. In the same way it comes in our Christian life, God gives us rules, God gives us things that we need to do, that we need to submit to him, that we need to show him, that say, hey, God, you're my Father, you're my Creator, you're my Savior. I want to give you enough respect, and I want to listen to you because I love you, because you love me, that I want to submit to you in the way that, in the rules that you give me in my life, in the boundaries that you set in my life. So it comes in the area then, where are we supposed to submit in our lives? What type of things should we submit in our lives? Well, the answer is fairly obvious. It's everything. Our entire lives should be submitted to God. Our careers, our money, our time, our hobbies, everything should be submitted to God so that God, and God wants everything to be submitted in our lives, but everything needs to be submitted to God because God deserves us to be able to submit. God deserves us. God deserves our submission to him. This is the first step to becoming humble towards God. And we see here, and it's actually a progression. James gives, I believe, three steps in a row where it brings us to where if we follow the three steps in a row, it brings us to a humble life that can be used by God and that God can give grace towards. And the first step is submission toward him. Now, the second step is in the second part of the verse. It's resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I found this part very interesting because we always know that when we're saved, we still feel the temptation of the devil. We still have to fight against the devil. We still have to do all that. But I always pictured it, I always thought it at least, that when you're fully submitted towards God, that means then the devil's attacks lessen at least a little. But honestly, it's not. It's the exact opposite. And you see it throughout the Bible that when someone's fully submitted towards God, that's when the devil actually even attacks more. We see here that James actually puts it second. Because the Christian needs to be fully submitted towards God, and then he needs to then resist the devil. He needs to be submitted towards God, and guess what? When he's submitted towards God, he's following God, he's in God's word, he's doing what God wants him to, then he can be able to resist the devil better, more effectively. Because you cannot resist the devil without God's help. It's impossible to do. We can't do it in our flesh. But the James is showing here that we need to submit to God first, and then we need to resist the devil. Sometimes Christians have this misconception, like I had, that once you become fully submitted towards God, that the devil then goes away. Because I always thought, you know, like 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, the first two words, be sober, be vigilant. Someone who's submitted to God, I thought, hey, they'd already be looking around. They'd already be sober. They'd already be vigilant. He's showing someone who's about to go off the wrong way. But I was like, James is showing here that, hey, just because you are submitted towards God does not mean the devil is not going to attack you. In fact, it's actually going to make the devil want to attack you more because he wants you to pull you back down. Let's see here. And I have an example about this. An example I really like because it deals directly towards me. Another one from college. Resisting the devil. The devil gives a lot of attacks. And one attack he gets really big in mind is having my daily devotions with God. It's an attack that I have that the devil likes to throw at me all the time. And college is a very easy place for him to attack me at this. Most of you would know, I work a job at on the college campus. I work security. And my hours are midnight to 6. So I work nights, then I go to class, then I sleep in the afternoon, then I get up, do some homework, then I go back to work. And so I'm sleeping all during the day, I'm working all night, and then I got classes in between. So it's very hard sometimes to find an actual consistency to have an actual spot where I need to have my devotions. And I have to, I've seen the significance, and God has shown me the significance that I need to have my daily devotions every day. Because it's a basic Christian principle. Have your daily devotions, you need to pray to God, you need to read God's word, stuff like that. It's a daily Christian principle. And the devil likes to fight me on that because he says, oh, you're too busy. But work has given me an opportunity that when I'm inside the main security center looking at security cameras all night, that they will let me do homework or they will let me read my Bible. But then I come up with excuses after that. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I say to myself, hey, I cannot read my Bible because I will not understand it fully because it's so late at night. But I've already been sleeping all day, so I'm wide awake. So the devil throws temptations in my mind like that makes me want to do it. And I can either submit to the devil's temptations or I can resist the devil's temptations. So it means then I will not, I can resist the devil's temptations, so that means then I will have my devotions and I can grow closer to God. I must daily submit and resist to the devil so that I do not fall to his attacks. At the end of this verse, James does give us a promise from God that the devil will flee when we resist him. That is a beautiful promise that God does give us. He says that when we resist the devil there, devil will flee from us. Now, the devil will come back, but the devil will flee from us at least for a time. God does not want us to be consistently attacked by the devil. So he has promised that the devil will leave if we resist his temptations. God does not chase the devil away. We must resist the devil ourselves. It is up to us. God does not let us do it. God does not do it all on his own. We must resist the devil first. So those are the first two steps. We first must submit, and then we must resist the devil. The third step, and the one I like the most, is in verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Drawing closer to God is, I believe, the third step to becoming fully humble. And I believe that the third, so we submit to God and say, God, whatever you want, I'll do. Whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do in my life, submitting fully to him. Then we resist the devil and we push back against his attacks. So that means we can stay clean and we can stay close to God. And then we draw closer to him. Drawing closer to God is the third step to receiving God's grace and being humble. We see this mentioned in the beginning of verse 8. James tells the believer to draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to them. We see that this is mentioned after submission and resisting to the devil. James mentions this third because we cannot draw closer to God if we are not submitted to him. We cannot draw closer to God if we're not resisting the devil. So it is third for a reason. We can't draw closer to God if we're not giving God everything in our life. It's just impossible. If there's a section of our life that we say, hey, God, this is off limits, you cannot have it, that's showing pride. And it says right there in verse 6 that God resists the proud. We're saying that we know better than God, that, hey, you cannot have this section of my life. God, that's not being humble, that's being prideful, and that's something that God does not like. So we need to first submit, then we need to resist the devil. We need to resist the devil's attacks. We need to resist the fiery darts that the devil throws at us. And then we can draw closer to God. Now, we see here that there's two things that have to be done before we can draw closer to God. We must be clean. It says right there in the second part of the verse, cleanse your hearts, ye sinners. So we're supposed to be cleansed. We're supposed to be cleansed in our heart. We're supposed to repent of our sins. We're supposed to clean ourselves of the wickedness that is in us from being man. And then it says that we're supposed to purify our hearts, ye double-minded. Purifying our hearts from being double-minded, James says earlier in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and God wants us to be solely focused on him. We are to give God our undivided attention. The question then comes in, what can divide our attention? Well, the things that divide our attentions are most of the times the same sort of things that we don't submit towards God. It can be our time, our money, our hobbies, even our family can be areas where we are not, where it's dividing our attention between God and where we're supposed to be, it's making it to where we're not solely focused on Him. And another, He wants us to be continuously walking with Him. This is the type of person that, and this is the type of person God wants us to be. He wants us to be solely focused on Him. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be submitted to Him. He wants us to be resisting the devil. He wants us to be pushing this way. And so it means we can start getting closer to Him and walking and having a daily walk with Him. He wants us to be focused. He doesn't want us to be having our attention diverted in different sections. He wants us to be solely focused and trying to get closer to Him. And to be able to do that, we must be submitted and we must resist the devil's attacks. Now comes in, how do we actually do the process of actually drawing closer to God? First two steps I see that are drawing closer to God is reading your Bible and prayer. Reading your Bible gets us to where we can see who God is, where we can see God's attributes, where it gets us to where we learn more about God. And that's drawing closer to Him. And then prayers are us talking to Him. And you can't draw closer to somebody if you don't talk to them. So if we, when we draw closer to God, but through God talking to us in His Bible and through us prayer. Other areas of being able to draw closer to God is the fact that memorization is a very good way. Meditation on a certain passage or even a certain word study, studying out a word in all the scripture, that really helps you be able to see what God wanted when He said that and helps you reveal part of His character more. Now these three steps, the submission, resisting, and then drawing closer to God, are important because it does help us become humble in our life. And how does it help us become humble? Because these three steps help us reveal who God is. It helps us show who God is, and it helps us learn more about His character, more about His attributes, more about who God is in Himself. And when we see who God really is, sitting up on this throne with Jesus on the right hand, it is a very humbling thing. To think that He created the world, that He holds the entire world in His hand, He can measure the water inside the palm of His hand, the fact that He can do all that stuff and then that He still loves and cares about us is a very humbling thought. We need to submit to God and lose any sense of pride that we have. We need to resist the devil and any attacks that he may throw us. We need to draw closer to God and establish Him as the only Lord of our life. These three steps to these are three steps to humbling ourselves towards God. Now, there are other steps to becoming humble. There are. The Bible talks about other ways of being humble. But these are three really practical, good steps that James gives us to be able to become more humble so we can grow closer to God and that God can give us the grace that we want in our lives. Submitting teaches us that God is over us. Resisting the devil teaches us to rely on God and not our own strength to fight against the devil. And drawing closer to God establishes a connection between God and us. This process will reveal to us more of God's character, which will help us submit to Him more. All three of these things are important ways to humble ourselves, so we can experience the grace that God gives to those that are humble. God wants to give us this grace. God wants us to be humble. God doesn't want to resist us, because He loves us. We're His children. If we're saved, we're God's child, and He loves us. And He wants to submit to us. He wants us to submit to Him. He wants to give us grace. He wants us to be humble. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for those people coming to church today. Please help us to be humble. Please help us to submit to you and resist the devil and draw closer to you, dear Heavenly Father. Please help us as we go out this week to show the world that we are your children. In Jesus' name, amen.